Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcissists podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Narcissistic Wife, How Narcissistic Women Manipulate, Control, and Break Men, and How to Break Free by Philip C. Dugas is a practical relationship abuse guide focused on men who believe they are living with, married to, or recovering from a narcissistic female partner. Rather than presenting itself as a clinical textbook, the book appears positioned as an accessible explanation of manipulation, emotional control, gaslighting, boundary violations, and the psychological exhaustion that can occur in intimate relationships marked by narcissistic behavior. Its purpose is to help readers identify recurring patterns, understand why these dynamics can be difficult to recognize, and consider steps toward emotional distance or separation. The book is distinctive in its gender-specific focus, because much popular writing on narcissistic abuse either speaks in gender-neutral terms or emphasizes male perpetrators. Dugas addresses a less openly discussed audience, men who may feel confused, ashamed, or unsupported when naming abuse by a wife or female partner. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, female narcissistic abuse is framed as a distinct relational pattern. The central theme of the book is that narcissistic abuse by women in marriage can be difficult to identify because it may not always match the more familiar cultural image of aggressive or openly domineering narcissism. Dugas appears to emphasize behaviors that can be socially masked by charm, emotional expressiveness, seduction, victim positioning, or claims of empowerment. This does not mean the book treats narcissism as exclusive to women. Rather, its focus is on how men may experience manipulation from a wife in ways that are often minimized or misunderstood. The importance of this framing is practical. If a man assumes abuse must look like obvious physical intimidation or constant open hostility, he may overlook patterns of humiliation, emotional withholding, double standards, and blame shifting. The book therefore invites readers to examine repeated behavior rather than isolated conflict. Its gender-specific approach also addresses the social barrier that many male victims face, the expectation that men should tolerate distress silently or dismiss it as ordinary. Marital difficulty. By naming the pattern directly, the book gives readers a vocabulary for experiences that may have felt confusing, private, or difficult to explain to others. Secondly, manipulation tactics are treated as repeated systems rather than isolated arguments. The book gives attention to recognizable tactics associated with narcissistic relationship dynamics, including gaslighting, emotional manipulation, mirroring, blame shifting, and strategic charm. The key point is that these behaviors are not presented simply as bad moods or normal disagreements. They are treated as recurring methods through which a narcissistic partner can control the emotional reality of the relationship. Gaslighting, for example, matters because it can make the husband question his memory, judgment, and right to object. Mirroring matters because early attraction may be built through intense apparent compatibility that later becomes a tool of attachment and control. Emotional manipulation matters because affection, approval, and conflict can be used intermittently, making the partner work harder for stability. This system's view is useful because many people trapped in such relationships analyze each incident separately and keep hoping that a better explanation, apology, or compromise will fix the problem. Dugas instead encourages readers to look for patterns over time. The practical reasoning is that a pattern of manipulation requires a different response than an ordinary communication problem. It calls for boundaries, documentation of reality, outside support, and reduced dependence on the abuser for validation. Thirdly, control is shown through emotional, financial, and social leverage. Another important topic is the range of control mechanisms that may appear in a marriage with a narcissistic wife. The book reportedly discusses not only emotional abuse, but also financial control, exploitation, boundary violations, and efforts to shape the husband's relationships with others. This matters because control in intimate relationships rarely depends on one tactic alone. A partner may criticize and destabilize emotionally, restrict access to money or decision-making, punish independence, and create conflict around friends, family, or outside support. When these forms of leverage overlap, the husband may feel trapped even if there is no single dramatic event that outsiders would immediately recognize as abuse. The book's focus on control also helps distinguish narcissistic dynamics from ordinary incompatibility. In a difficult but basically mutual relationship, both partners can negotiate, apologize, and adjust. In a coercive dynamic, the controlling partner resists accountability and uses the relationship structure to preserve dominance. By identifying control across emotional, financial, and social domains, the book encourages readers to assess the practical conditions of their lives, not only their feelings. That makes the advice more concrete. Freedom may require rebuilding resources, support systems, and decision-making capacity. Fourthly, male victims are shown as vulnerable to shame, confusion, and emotional depletion. The book's intended audience suggests a strong concern with the inner effects of narcissistic abuse on men. Men in these relationships may not only feel hurt, they may feel embarrassed that they are being controlled, unsure whether their pain counts as abuse, or reluctant to seek help because of social expectations around masculinity. This psychological dimension is important because narcissistic abuse often works by weakening confidence over time. If the husband is repeatedly told that he is too sensitive, selfish, inadequate, or responsible for every conflict, he may begin to accept an unfair version of himself. The result can be emotional depletion, isolation, anxiety around conflict, and a habit of appeasing the wife to avoid escalation. Dugas's focus on men is therefore not merely a demographic choice. It addresses a specific barrier to recovery. Many male victims lack language and social permission to describe themselves as harmed. Recognizing this effect can help readers separate their identity from the role assigned to them inside the abusive relationship. The book's practical value lies in helping men see that confusion and exhaustion are not proof of weakness. They may be predictable consequences of prolonged manipulation. Lastly, breaking free depends on boundaries, reduced emotional supply, and outside support. The book's recovery guidance appears centered on recognizing the pattern. Setting firm boundaries, limiting emotionally charged interactions, seeking support, and reclaiming autonomy. This emphasis is consistent with the idea that narcissistic dynamics are sustained by access to attention, emotional reaction, compliance, and control. If the husband continues to argue for empathy, compete for fairness, or repeatedly explain his pain to someone who uses vulnerability against him, the cycle may continue. Boundaries are therefore not presented as punishments, but as protective structures. Limiting contact, keeping interactions practical, and refusing unnecessary emotional engagement can reduce the opportunities for manipulation. The book also points toward external support, which is crucial because isolation strengthens the abusive partner's influence. Friends, therapists, counselors, legal advisors, or support groups can help the reader test reality, plan safely, and rebuild confidence. The phrase "break free" should be understood broadly. For some readers, it may mean emotional detachment within a complex marriage. For others, it may mean separation or divorce. The book's practical orientation lies in moving the reader from analysis to action, while implicitly recognizing that leaving or disengaging from a controlling spouse often requires preparation rather than impulsive confrontation. In conclusion, The Narcissistic Wife is best suited for men who are trying to make sense of a marriage or intimate relationship marked by manipulation, chronic blame, emotional instability, control, and loss of self-confidence. It may also be useful for counselors, peer supporters, or family members who want a clearer view of how male victims can experience narcissistic abuse. Its practical benefits are strongest at the level of recognition and early recovery. It helps readers identify patterns, name tactics such as gaslighting and emotional control, understand why the relationship feels so destabilizing, and consider boundaries or support systems. Intellectually, the book contributes to a niche within the broader narcissistic abuse genre by focusing specifically on female perpetrators and male victims, a topic that is often discussed less openly than abuse by men. Compared with more general books on narcissism, its value is not likely to be clinical depth or diagnostic complexity. Its distinction is accessibility, audience focus, and direct attention to the shame and confusion men may feel when the abusive partner is a wife. Readers seeking detailed psychotherapy methods may need additional resources, but those seeking a targeted framework for recognizing and responding to narcissistic marital control may find this book especially relevant. If you would like to support Philip C. Dugas, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.